Thank you, Bishop. Thank you. Yeah, they got it. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am every evil character that you could play in a production. I play the devil and then the Grinch. I don't know how I got assigned to all that, but and I feel like Ryan's the Jesus, and like he's the other side. Like during Puppet Master, he's Jesus. So it's always me. We got to figure out something with Pastor Ryan and the other side of the Grinch. Maybe he's like the main who or something like that. So we always have fun. Huh? He could be Max. Okay. That's awesome. Well, good morning, church. I am excited to share a word with you. First, because I feel that it got confirmed by Bishop this morning, first service. You know, whenever you're about to make a move or maybe speak, something that you feel that God's put upon your heart, you always want that confirmation. This morning, Bishop shared about a standard that we have here at our church as far as dialogue over gossip. It's maintaining a standard. That's who we are as a church. And so the title of my message today is Maintaining a Standard, and that's really important. So I do want to take a moment before we pray to just acknowledge Bishop. Thank you for opening this up. This is an honor. I feel that God has put something upon my heart to share, and so in just a moment I want to pray and just acknowledge God and just give him thanks for this opportunity, and thanks above all for Bishop for allowing me. And I do want to honor my beautiful and gorgeous wife. I want to honor you, honey. I love you. Thank you for your constant support. I do want to speak to our now 7 months in Presley. Presley is our baby girl coming in December. A little bit of a backstory. My wife and I have been trying for 7 years. 7 years of tears. 7 years of heartbreak, of hardship. 7 years of doing anything and everything that was on the table to try. And in the 7th year of us trying, the Lord opened up this door, and we are now in the 7th month of welcoming our baby girl. So she is very welcome. She is very loved by all of us in the church. Thank you for those that have reached out, that have checked on my wife. We feel so loved and so honored and so cherished here at this church. It's just truly an honor. So a part of my message will be talking a little bit about Presley in regards to maintaining a standard. How many know when... the right age comes, someone's going to try to step in the house, and I'm going to have to set a little standard. Like, listen, Presley, 36, okay? Not till 36. For what? Everything, okay? No. So, setting a standard, maintaining a standard. So, before we start, I do want to pray. I want to acknowledge the Lord. So, if you would stand with me, let's pray. Dear Lord, I come before you. I acknowledge you. First of all, I praise you. I give you glory and honor in this place this morning. God, I pray that any word that I would speak would be directly from your mouth. I pray that the word that you've put upon our heart would impact us in a greater way. I pray for good soil in this house today. Those who are watching us online, that a good soil, that the word that you would bring forth, God, it would be planted and it would be nourished and it would grow. God, I pray that you would be with us and continue to guide us and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen, amen. So, maintaining a standard. A standard is essentially, this is how it is. This is how it goes. This is, we do this and we don't do this. Guys, in the house, we set a standard for our children. Moms, we set a standard for our sons and our daughters. This is how this household operates. This is what we don't do, and this is what we do. This is a standard that we're setting. I'll give you a great example. I had a standard when I was a kid, when I was getting babysat by my Cuban grandmother, to eat her food all the time. If she cooked, I ate. You have to, okay? Youngsters, if grandma cooks, you better eat that food. Don't get that look, okay? That look, I cooked for you. I woke up at 5 a.m., and I've got 6 meals prepared, and you don't want to eat? Are you? So as a Cuban, my dad's Canadian, by the way, so I don't know how that happened, but here I am. Praise the Lord. But my grandma's Cuban, authentic Cuban food. I just made it herself in the kitchen, prepared it, and I knew when I got home, I had to live to the standard that a grandma had for her grandson to eat her food. And so eat the grandma's food if they offer. If not, every 10 minutes. You hungry yet? Yeah. You're not. I just had like a number 5. I'm not hungry. Okay. 10 minutes later. You hungry? Why don't you go run outside so you can get hungry? because I cooked. It's a standard. It's a thing that you have to adhere to. And so I want to highlight individuals in the Bible. I want to highlight different circumstances of individuals that maintained a standard. And it showed why God used them. It showed why God opened up a door for them. It showed why God utilized them in a powerful way. And I think that that's a powerful thing to review, because a lot of us are asking for God to use us. We're asking God to open a door for us. We're asking God to be with us. And there are so many things about setting a standard that is involved in that. So I actually want to start with Noah. Noah is the very first person. This scripture is found in Genesis chapter 8. Now, this is right after the flood happened. So the flood happened, everything, Noah was responsible for starting everything over. Everything had gone bad, so the flood happened, got the two of each animal in the boat, and this is right afterwards. And in the scripture, verse 18, it says, so Noah came out of the boat together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark one kind after another. Here's the important piece. So they're just coming out of the boat. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but after a hurricane, after something traumatic, I want to assess the damage. There was just an earthquake in Southern California. You see a lot of people, okay, we need to assess the damage. We need to see what happened, what's going on. Not Noah. Noah said, I have a principle, I have a standard, I have something that has been instituted that I must do. I must build an altar from the Lord. He didn't say, this area is dry, this area. No, his standard was, I honor the Lord. No matter the circumstance, I honor him. I have a standard of honoring him. So no wonder why God used Noah, because he had a principle and a standard about him to honor God. So verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. He had a standard, he stuck to it, and it was who he was. And that's why God used him. If you want God to use you, do you have a standard? Do you have a principle about you that honors God no matter the circumstance? It's easy to honor maybe in a one-on-one conversation. Maybe it's easy to honor God within ourselves, easy to honor when we're by ourselves, but also in a group of people. Oftentimes when there's a group of people, we tend to compromise our standards. A lot of folks will say yes, 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 and in the midst of all the yeses, we're called to say no. Can we do that? There's actually another character that highlights that, and it's Abram. Now, this is before Abraham. Before being Abraham, he was Abram. So why would God use Abram? Because in the midst of a group of people, when everyone was saying yes, he said no. He showed a standard and a characteristic and a principle, so God used him. This was actually after a celebratory time of war. They had defeated some kings. They had taken some land. They had done amazing things. So you think about a court of people dancing and gesturing and being excited. And so now you see in verse 21 from Genesis 14, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, in the midst of everyone celebrating, think about everyone and hey, let's all do this. I mean, young people, when you go to a party and everyone at the party is doing this, do you not know that you're probably going to be asked to do that? That's why surrounding yourself with the right people is important. Because I think a statement I've always kind of adhered to is, I'll tell you who you are if you show me who you hang out with. It's true. You hang around the wrong people, you're going to start doing the wrong things. Why? Because do you constantly want to be the person to say no in the midst of a room people saying yes? So here's a perfect example. Before Abram became Abraham, the father of many nations, he was brought through a test of his allegiance to a commitment and a standard that he had. So now Abram says, but Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. He has a standard, he has principles, he's stuck by him, God used him. There's a theme here. And you look at so many different individuals in the Bible to where they had a standard and they stuck to it. Daniel. Why did he go in the lion's den? Standards. You keep a standard. You hold a standard. God will open up doors for you. God will use you. Why would God call you to an area where you're not going to adhere to standards? I mean, if he were to call you to an area where you would potentially be lost because you don't have the standards in place, some of us are making moves without God being behind it. That's where we get in trouble. That's where we get in trouble. There's actually another example that I want to highlight is Moses. But I don't want to highlight just one side. I do want to highlight the other side. That, you know, when God calls us to live up to a standard and he calls us to do a particular thing, there are benefits to sticking to the standard, but there are also consequences in altering it. And you look at Moses. Moses is a very good example. This is actually found in Numbers chapter 20. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes.'" Speak to the rock before their eyes. Now down in verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water to you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank." Verse 12, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land I have given them.'" God asked Moses to stick to a standard and a principle. He did not. The assembly didn't go. It's important to stick to the standards that God has given us. It is important to... This is how I do things in my temple. This is how it is. I serve the Lord. And so if someone is trying to bring something counter to what you have and what God's given you, then that's something that you need to stand against. A standard and a principle is how we honor God, the way we live our lives. We have kingdom standards. A great example of that is what Bishop mentioned. We have a standard to dialogue over gossip. We have a standard in this church to do things a certain way. That's how we do things. Parents, when your child is coming into the house and doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, that's not how we do things here. That's not how we do things. Why? Because it's a principle and a standard for success. It's not just empty rules, empty, hey, here's just information I randomly gathered together. No, it's there and it's instituted for your success. As parents, you have the duty to look out for the goodness of your child. And that's what standards are. If you are a child in that house, you're under that household because your parents have good intentions for you. So it reminds me, whenever I go through a trial or tribulation, I'm not upset with God. What does James say? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing the producing of patience, producing a faith that you will be complete, lacking nothing. God is a good God. He has good intentions for me. But I've got to go through trials and tribulations to be complete. The trial and tribulation is the catalyst to be complete. So if you're going through something, good. God's working on you. If you're going through something, good. God wants to see something good come from that. And yes, it's tough. Yes, it's rough. But out of that trial and tribulation, you will be better. You will be better. If you're experiencing a hardship, it's a hardship. There's no words that I can put together to make it easier. But just know that you've got to go through it. You've got to go through it to be better from it. It's important. Holding to your standards is important. I actually wrote down a couple different definitions here of standard. It is established as a model, example, or a point. It is what you allow. What do you allow in your life? What do you allow in your household? What do you allow in your marriage? What do you allow in your relationships? What do you allow? That's your standard. It is what you condone. Oftentimes, it is what you're silent about. It's what you're not willing to say. It's a standard that you have. And we have to adhere to kingdom standards. It is rooted in reverence and honor. The next slide here, I actually want to share a video clip. And how many of you are a fan of boxing? Yeah, mix it up a little bit here this morning. Tyson Fury, heavyweight champion. There was a roundtable discussion that he had on his last fight with Deontay Wilder. Now, if you don't know already, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fought the first time, but it went to decision for Tyson Fury. And so this second meeting was actually Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder sitting in a round table before their second fights. And I hope you can see and just catch for a moment the reverence, the standard that is put in place. You can go and roll that video.
I can like you and I can say I can love you as a man to look in your eyes and really genuinely mean that. But when that night of that fight comes, you're not going to be talking to Deontay Wilder. You're not going to be looking in the eyes of Deontay Wilder.
Who am I going to be looking in the eyes of?
You're looking in the eyes of the Bronze Bomber. You're going to feel him as well too, just like the feeling that you feel him now.
Is
just
that like an alter ego or something? Or is it
is it like
a spirit that comes into you, or what is it?
It can be an alter ego, it can be a spirit, it may be an ancestry spirit, who knows? I'm part Nigerian.
I don't believe in all that stuff at all.
I do.
Because Jesus Christ is my savior, and I don't believe in all spirits and alter egos. And even mentioning stuff like that on TV, you're getting it.
That's the difference.
If God is with me, nobody can be against me. And if you're entering spirits and stuff into your body, you can't win, you've already lost. You can't beat me. I sit here today as a sincere man who tells the truth and hides nothing behind no curtains. I'm beating you 1,000,000%. I've not got no doubts. Even after all the time off, you cannot beat me. When you look at me, I'm not lying. I'm not just doing it for the cameras or whatever. I know deep in my heart.
That motivates me in my walk. Is that he heard. Now, I hope you caught Deontay Wilder stuttering as soon as he started saying that. Just keep in mind, and just a reminder, that the kingdom is always more powerful than darkness. And it will always make the darkness shudder. It will always make the darkness stumble. That the kingdom is greater. And so I hope you see a parallel between Tyson Fury, and mind you, he won by TKO in the 7th round. He won that fight. He walked in there with a standard, with a principle. Someone was combating that standard, combating that principle, and he wasn't having it. So if somebody's combating your standard, your principle in the kingdom, you can't have any of that. You can't have any of that. If someone brought something into your home that you're not about, you take that stand, and that's your standard. I'm not about that. You've got to do that with your faith. You've got to do that with your walk with the Lord. That's not what I'm about. When the whole room is saying yes, you've got to say no. God will honor that. God will bless that. I want God to use me, we say. I want God to be there in my life. I want God to walk with me. Hold a standard. I want God to use me. Hold a standard and stay to it. Don't waver. Don't go here and there, but stick to the standard and God will use you. You know who Tyson Fury reminds me a lot of, and it's the next person here? David. How much did he just sound like David? I mean, we'll say directly from Scripture. Then David spoke to the man, to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and with spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Tyson Fury sounded a lot like David because David had a standard in the kingdom. That's not how we do things in the kingdom. You don't come and defile my God. You don't come and disgrace my God. You don't do that here, so I'm going to stand. It's a powerful statement. It's why we know David for being after God's own heart. He wasn't the one selected amongst Jesse's children of one who's going to be potentially the king. He's the one in the meadow. He's the one tending to the sheep. One of the powerful things about our baby girl coming is that her name is Presley. The name Presley means a priest's meadow. The only reason why I am here today is because of the presence of the Lord. That's it, that's all. That's it, that's all. You want the core of it all? It is the presence of the Lord. I have been through hardship. I have been through this. I've been through that. I could spend another 15 sermons talking about what my journey with the Lord has been and the times that I've walked away and been bitter at Him. I've openly, verbally, around people, blamed Him for things. And in all that, I came back because God brought me back to the meadow of his presence. You know, I think about, and I was talking to Pastor Dan about this during mid-service, is think about all the times David was in the meadow with the sheep. Why is he a man after God's own heart? Because he understood what it meant to get alone and get by himself, get in the presence. If you were here for my message a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, I brought those two chairs, and I sat on both of the chairs, and it just talked about how God wants to sit and have a conversation with us, that it's not some big elaborate plot for this and that. It's just a conversation. He just wants us. He created us, so he wants to spend time with us. As a father wants to spend time with a son or daughter. It's the presence. And so in the presence, David understood and knew that in the meadow, it's where he understood how to be a man after God's own heart. So as the priest of my home, I will make sure as a standard that my daughter will know the presence of the Lord without doubt. She will know what the presence of the Lord feels like, what it looks like. She will know as the priest, and as I have learned and understood and been able to develop in the presence of the Lord, we named her Presley because as the priest of this home, the meadow is where I found the presence. And so we honor the Lord in her name. Her middle name is Joy because we feel that she's going to bring joy everywhere that she goes. So we're excited. And let me just tell you this. I didn't know I loved my wife as much as I could now. But the fact that she's like, she round ligament pain. Fellas, you don't know what that is. Round ligament pain, stretching in places that you don't. Guys, I mean, if we started stretching and it would weird us out. But like, she's changing, developing. She's coming forth with a life. It's like, I can do the dishes. So much respect, mothers out there, future mothers, I honor you for the hard work that you go through. I am just marveled on how much my wife can do and how much I don't have to do. I'll put the nail in the wall. Oh, honey, you just grow a life. Round ligament pain, tired all the time. I got the nail on the... Just honor my wife there for a moment. But I want to close with the other side of it and give us some hope. David, in the next portion here, is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet is giving a parable to David and saying to him this parable about a particular man that has done horrible things. And Nathan is telling this parable, this story to David to see what his reaction would be. And David's reaction is, so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, and the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This was right after Bathsheba. Right after Bathsheba, this is a quick reminder that sin distorts very easily what your standard is. He had a standard that, man, you dishonor God, there must be death. But Nathan reminds him, it's you. You were the one that dishonored God. You were the one that had a man killed. Sin, your lust distorted. Just a reminder that sin distorts your standards. Then the Lord's Prayer, it does not say, give us our weekly bread. It says, give us our daily bread. Meaning on a daily basis, you get on your knees, you go to the cross, and you plead for the blood of Jesus. You repent and come before him and ask him for forgiveness. Because sin distorts. So when you're saying something, when you're commenting, if you're speaking out of the distortion of sin, you can get in trouble. David had a standard. We always know for David after God's own heart. Yes, but David had a setback. Quick reference. Why do we diminish ourselves so much when we have a setback? When we look at someone that's known after God's own heart of having a setback. God's not mad at you. God's not like, oh, well, you're done. Can't use you anymore. If you've fallen short, God can still use you. If you've fallen short, God can still use you. You are not, oh, well, I guess I'm done. No, you are still recoverable. I walked away from God, but I was still recoverable. In the same way, Nathan said to David, you are that man. You had this standard, but it broke because sin distorted. And by the end of the story, and wrap up right now, that the end of the story is David actually pleads to the Lord not to take that son. Pleads, gets on his face, please. But that son dies. And it says right afterwards, when that son dies, that David cleans himself up and worships. The son died, and then immediately he worships. Though he had a setback, though he had something that was a failure of his, he still had a standard that no matter the circumstance, God is still God. No matter what's happened the last 6 months, your standard as a Christian, as a Christ walker on this earth, is to hold to a standard of getting in your Bible, getting in your word, getting in prayer, going to church, being a part of church, being a part of the community. It's the standard that we need to live by. In the same way, if you're praying for something and it happens, praise God. If you're praying for something and it doesn't happen, praise God. Either way, He's good. Either way. Whether it goes your way or not, He is good. Whether it goes your way or not, He is good. He is God above all, and He has good intentions for us. I want to remind you today, I want to remind you today to hold to your standard. Hold to your standard of honoring God wherever you go. In a big group of people like Abram, or one-on-one in your prayer and worship, in prayer time. Keep your standard. Don't move your standard, because God will use you mightily when your standard is kept. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, that's such a great word. Such a courageous word, especially in the world we're living in today, where everything's challenged. Standards are challenged. Good is now being called bad, and bad is now being called good. We are the body of Christ, and what a great word for us to take and say, no, this is truth. This is truth. You know that one day and when President Clinton was president, he once said that the day is coming in America when there will be no absolutes. Nothing will be absolutely wrong, and nothing will be absolutely right. Well, listen, whether it's President Clinton, President Trump, President Bush, President Obama, no president has ever written God's word. Truth is truth, and we are ambassadors of truth. We are ambassadors of God's word. And so I appreciate that word this morning, Pastor Dustin. And let's remember to take a stand, right? Let's remember to preach truth, always in love, always in grace. And here's one standard I want to tell you about. You see, we're committed to holding standards, but guess who else is way above that? God Himself. And you know what He promises? That if His people who are called by His name shall humble themselves and pray and seek His face, He will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Heal their land. And I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're here this morning and you just don't feel good about the way things have been going in your life. Guess what? He sets the standard and says, if you call on to me, the standard is, I'll show you love and repentance. I'll give you grace. If you show repentance, I'll give you grace and forgive your sins. That's God's plan. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose from the dead, you shall be saved. Does anybody need to be saved this morning? Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here in the house this morning that would say, yes, I need to be saved? Anybody at all? Raise your hand if you need to give your heart to Christ. All right. Is there anybody here this morning, maybe online, if you need to give your heart to Jesus? Just text it. Yes, pray for me. I need Jesus. Pastor Henry's watching. Crystal's watching. They'll reach out to you and share with you. Or anybody else who's watching on our page is going to reach out to you. But we want you to know that we love you and God loves you. Is there anybody here this morning that you just need prayer? Been going through something tough and you need prayer this morning? Just raise your hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. My prayer team's coming up. At the altar team is coming up. If you would like to get prayed for, and you're over here, my left, your right, in this section one, if you want to come forward for prayer, you can come and take a place up here, and they're going to pray with you. From my left, section one. Section two, if you want to come up and get prayed for, you can make your way up and come and take your place at the altar here. They're going to find you. They're going to place you at a line here. Usher team, I need you guys to place them on a line somewhere, please. Amen. And they're right over here. They're going to help you find a place. And then over here in this section, if you want to come find, they'll come. The usher team is up here to come find a place for you. Come forward. Come here and find a place at the altars. And then this section over here, if you want to pray, want prayer this morning, come. Make your way up. The ushers are going to help you find a line here on the floor. You can stand on a line on the floor here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Right up here. Right up here, son. On this one. You can come right up here. You can help him if you ever. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. I know things have changed, but you know what hasn't changed? It's God. He's still able to do great and mighty things. He's still able to heal. He's still able to forgive. He's still able to love and give mercy. So whatever you're feeling right now, surrender to God. Those at the altars or those sitting in your chairs, whatever it is you're going through, surrender it to God. You're watching us online, surrender it to God. He's still the God that cares. He's still the God that is able. Father, in your precious name, come on, go ahead and just bow your heads right now. I'm going to ask our prayer team to make sure everyone gets a touch on the back that they know you're praying for them. Everybody gets a touch on the back to make sure you know they're praying for them. In the name of Jesus, I just pray blessings upon everybody at the altar. Heavenly Father, I pray you heal their bodies. Heavenly Father, whatever they're going through, my God, if it's depression, I pray it broken right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're in your chair, you didn't come up. Maybe you're watching us online, but you know that you're battling depression. I stand with you, and I come against that in the name of Jesus. I come against depression. I come against anxiety. I come against fear. I come against fear, and I stand with you as one who has been through it and battles it too. I want you to know I'm standing with you, but I'm praying for you. I'm believing God's breaking that off of you right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, he's breaking that off of you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive that in Jesus' name. Receive peace right now. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. Receive peace right now. Come on, just receive it, church. Receive it, church. Those online, just receive that right now. Let the ministry, let the power of the Holy Ghost transcend any device that you're on, and may you feel him right now where you're at. He's a God of healing still. He's a God of forgiveness still. He's a God that is able to do great and mighty things. You might feel like there's no hope, but right now in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's breathing hope into your body, breathing hope into your mind, breathing hope into your heart. Receive that right now in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hope and peace and joy. Receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. Come on, everyone, stand to your feet, would you? Could you all stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to acknowledge the presence of God. So much has happened in the last 6 months. So much has taken place. I want us to acknowledge the presence of God. I want us to acknowledge that God is still in control. That this is still the year of 2020 blessing. This is still God's world. He's still in control. Come on, give him that authority. Give him that praise. Give him your heart. Give him your year. Give him your year right now. I speak peace. I speak hope. I speak joy in the name of Jesus. I bind fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Receive it. Come on, breathe in Jesus right now. Breathe in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many sense the presence of God in this place? Hallelujah. Listen, folks, I want to invite you today at 4 o'clock. Our prayer team will be on live. You can ask for prayer there. Tomorrow night, New Life Recovery will be live here on campus or online. Grief Share will be online. Ministries throughout our week will be live. Check out our ministry pages. God is doing something amazing right now. I want you to know you are so loved. As I was worshiping this morning, I just felt overwhelmed with gratitude that you're here. Overwhelmed with gratitude that you're here at church. Overwhelmed with gratitude that you're watching online. You could be watching anybody else, but you're here with us, CWC Life. We're so grateful. And I'm so honored to be your pastor. I pray in the name of Jesus that you have a blessed day. And guess what? The rest of this week is going to be blessed because you gave God your first day of the week here. I declare that in Jesus' name. So both doors are open. Listen, if you have our children, for being so good in church, we have a little treat for you right over here to my left, this door over here. We have a little treat for our children. Thank you so much for being so good, kids. Amen. God bless you all. May the Lord bless you and be with you this week.